Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. In today's first reading, we hear about the people, the Hebrews, putting God to the test in the wilderness. They regret the fact that they have followed Moses into the wilderness and have left a place where, although they were slaves, they had figs and grapes and pomegranates, and now they don't even have water. And the Gospel reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 23. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." There's normally at least one moment of hesitation in the execution of any serious task. Why did I agree to take this on? Do I really have to do this? The noonday devil, about which the fathers of the desert often speak, was understood by Thomas Aquinas to be about this phenomenon, at the midpoint of any undertaking, or at least some way into it, the chances are it will seem tedious, never-ending, too much, and one might even be tempted to give it up altogether. We get two such moments in today's readings. The people being led out of Egypt by Moses say, "We've gone from bad to worse. We're in a wretched place. Better if we had remained slaves in Egypt. At least we would have figs and grapes, whereas here we don't even have water." The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Better to stay with the slavery that is familiar and somehow comfortable than to continue the journey towards a freedom not yet experienced, still only promised. Peter's expression of faith is followed immediately by Jesus' first prediction of his passion. "Heaven preserve you, Lord," says Peter, or words to that effect. "This must not happen. We have reached a satisfactory point in the process," Peter seems to say. "Why look to such a dreadful outcome to the journey?" "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus says. Whatever kind of devil Peter is at that moment is firmly rejected by Jesus, who has his eye on the Father and the Father's will, no matter what difficulties attend his way. We need to become accustomed to thinking in God's way, then, to remain in God's presence at all moments of the journey, particularly those times when things become difficult and people become tetchy and we are tempted even to put God to the test. Many times it will seem that the slavery we know is better than the freedom we don't know. Jesus tamed causes nobody any problem. Jesus free leads us onward towards the joy and glory of God's holiness. But holiness is testing and uncompromising. So before you jump in too quickly to answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" think about the implications of your answer and the journey it will require of you and what you will need if you are to persevere on that journey.